Be seated, and Tina will come and share our scripture reading.
This is a reading from Mark chapter 8, verses 34-35. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it."
The cross. It is the symbol at the heart of our Christian faith, and yet it is one I think we wrestle to understand. Some of us came out of Catholic tradition where the norm is a crucifix, always displayed in worship and used as an object of worship and devotion. Those of us in this Protestant tradition, the cross is always empty, as a sign that death did not hold him and that the cross was emptied and the grave was empty. It's interesting to realize there's nothing in the actual hard structure of this sanctuary that is a cross. There is a cross and artwork on the back. But I think it's worth asking time and again, what does it mean to us? How do we understand it? You could ask it the rest of your life. This teaching from Mark's gospel comes at a critical point. It's really the turning point in Mark's gospel. Jesus is shifting from his ministry in Galilee. Right before this, he's asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Messiah." I think it's fair to guess that what Peter meant by that and what Jesus immediately began to teach them about what that meant were not the same. The expectation was that the Messiah was going to be a political leader, was going to make things right in the world. And Jesus immediately began to teach them that he was going to suffer and be rejected and die. And then Peter argues with him and Jesus rebukes him. And then we come to this. He takes not just the disciples, but the larger crowd and says, "If you want to come after me, deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it." Paradoxical, at least, right? There's a lot there. In our Bible study, Shella said, "Why is he talking about taking up the cross when the cross hasn't happened in the story yet?" Fair question. It's quite possible, I think, that maybe this taking up your cross and following became a way of talking about this in the early church after his death. That's possible. But it still feels to me like the core of this teaching goes all the way back to Jesus, no question, because it fits with so much of the rest of his teaching, and it fits with his living and his dying. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for the larger purposes of God, you will save it. I was reflecting this week how our culture, and I think most cultures, honor and revere and hold up as heroes those who give their lives for their country in military service, right? Sacrifice, honor, praise. We don't always take care of them very well, but we certainly say we honor them and respect them. So there's a core of knowledge in all of us as human beings that the willingness to give your life for something bigger is really honorable, valuable. It's how our lives are meant to be lived. We give a lot less honor and attention to people whose living sacrifices are about service and compassion. And yet I feel like there's so much more of that. I look at, think of Belinda and her teachers and staff, and Biz, their teachers and staff working with kids with significant challenges and disabilities, and how hard that work is. Belinda got hit in the head the other day in the emergency room 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's hard work. These are difficult kids. I think about caregivers taking care of elderly in nursing homes or in private homes who get paid very little for doing the hardest work, changing, feeding, dressing, sitting with elderly folks who perhaps have dementia and cannot even know who they are, and can sometimes be difficult and agitated. Teachers, medical professionals, all the challenges they've dealt with. We know there's so many people, right? In so many different ways, many of you giving your lives in service and care and compassion. And then there's the personal family stuff, right? Taking care of a newborn child, the colic, how about that one? How about the baby or a toddler who refuses to sleep through the night for 2 or 3 years? Anybody know about that one? I do. Some of you are nodding your heads. It calls something out of you, but it's also just hard work. Caring for elderly parents, caring for someone in our family with disabilities or illness. There's so many ways in our lives where we are challenged to this deeper, larger kind of living and loving, right? It's not heroic. No one else may even know about it, and yet the challenge is there to, let's use the metaphor, take up the cross. Embrace the challenges, the difficulty, not with gritting teeth, resentment. That's the hard part, right? With open-heartedness to somehow find the way to act out of love when loving is really, really hard. That's taking up your cross and following Jesus. And then, of course, there is the more, not more, but the related spiritual meanings, moving out of our egos, our egoic operating system, Cynthia Bourgeau likes to call it, into that larger awareness that I abide in you and you abide in me. And somehow our freedom, our liberation, our salvation is found in that understanding that's bigger than me and my little private personal story. Joining and realizing we're part of the big story of God's amazing agape love at work in the world. We've been focusing on centering prayer as a way of meditation in our Lenten series during the week. And the whole notion in centering prayer is that you're practicing letting go. When the thoughts and the ideas and the concerns are popping in your head, you're just trying to say, give it back to God, turn back. Give it back. Let go. Let go. And the idea is that we're literally training ourselves to surrender to the larger purposes of God. This week is my little piece of doing something for Black History Month. I watched the movie Harriet. My son, who's African American, had been telling me for some time, you've got to watch this movie. It's a great movie. Frankly, I don't think it's a great movie. Critically speaking, I don't think it's a great movie. It's a little too Hollywood, but her story is a great story, and it's worth watching to get more of her story and feel it. This woman, escaped slave, escaped on her own after suffering all sorts of things, and yet out of love and compassion and concern was motivated, felt God calling her to go back multiple times. They think at least 13 times she went back down south, brought out at least 70 other slaves to freedom, was a spy for the Union forces. And I did not know this, ended up leading a group of about 150 black soldiers to do a raid on the coast of South Carolina, where over 750 slaves managed to escape to the boats they had. She clearly understood that it was bigger than her life. It wasn't just about rescuing herself. She understood that she was part of something larger, trying to bring so many more people to freedom out of her love and her compassion. There's a scene, which who knows, I don't know if it's true, but there's a scene of her in Auburn, New York, at William Seward's house, giving this little speech where everyone else is getting really scared after the Fugitive Slave Act passed. All the rest of the Underground Railroad abolitionist folks were afraid, for good reason, to keep on trying to do what they were doing. And she gives this speech where she basically said, "I have not forgotten their suffering. I'm going to keep going back. Whoever is willing to lose their life will save it. And whoever tries to hold on to their life loses it." We all know at some deep level something of this truth. And the call of the gospel is to live into it, embrace it, dare to believe that even when we can't see how what we are doing matters in the larger scheme of things. Cynthia Bourgeau, the wisdom teacher that some of us have found very helpful, talks about the notion that our prayer, our cultivating this letting go, this living into the larger story, our being here as a community of love and care, the small acts of service we do into the larger, that make a little difference in the larger world, that all of that functions like a dialysis. I love this image. That we're helping take toxins out of the environment and breathe out the fruits of the Spirit. Think about that one. That our love and care for each other is sending forth beautiful fragrance into the world that counters all the toxicity and negativity and hatred and selfishness that is all also being breathing rampantly around us. It matters what we do. It matters how we do it with each other and those around us. So we are called to live the way of the cross, the way of self-giving love. If you want to hold on, you lose it, right? If you can let go, there is more that comes back. I thought of that kid's song, "Love is nothing till you give it away. Give it away, give it away. Love is nothing till you give it away. You end up having more. It's just like a magic penny. Hold it close, you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, you'll have so many. They roll all over the floor." Right? That's it. Give it away. Give ourselves away and dare to believe, dare to trust. There is enough. There will always be enough for us, for all of us. Thanks be to God.